1 John, we're going to be looking at verses 3 and 4 this evening, but let's go ahead and read, beginning with verse number 1 and of chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. There's a little story about a boy named Dave. Dave had a little dog named Toby. And Dave and Toby were best friends. They spent time together every day. Dave would talk to his dog Toby. He told him all of his heart. They walked together. They played together. They laughed together. They cried together. Toby was a great friend for Dave. And he always seemed to understand. And they encouraged each other. And they defended each other. And they ate meals together. And they shared a unique fellowship and were wonderful companions. And you know, people have said that a dog is man's best friend. And sometimes I think that may be true in a lot of ways. But you know, the Bible tells us that we can have a friendship with God that far, far surpasses anything we can have on this earth with any other kind of friendship. And I want us to, as we go through the book of John, I want you to see how that God wants you to have fellowship with him. He wants to be able to fellowship with you in an intimate way, to have sweet communion with you, to have a sweet fellowship with you every day. God desires that. And the book of 1 John is all about learning how to do that. And I want to be able to share that with you. And you pray for me as I prepare, that I might be able to prepare in such a way that I'll be able to just overflow what God has given to me through the week as I've meditated and pondered it and be able to share it with you in a way that'll soak in and you'll be able to benefit from it. But tonight we're going to be looking at several things that have to be right in order for us to fellowship with God. What has got to be right in order to fellowship with God? First of all, we need to have right information. Verse number 3 is where we're going to start tonight. And he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. All right, so John here is talking, and he is writing to the readers, and he uses the word we, and we don't really know who's included in his we. It could be an editorial we. It could be that him and his family. It could be him and the other apostles. I'm not really sure who the we is, but whoever it is someone with him, and they were close to him, and they had a bond together. And he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And so John has just given us the right information back in the first two verses. He gave us the right information we need. If we're going to have fellowship with God, we need to know God. We need to know God. And you know, that is true about every friendship we have in this life. Every time we have fellowship with someone, we have to know them before you can have fellowship. You don't have fellowship with strangers. You know, we can have fellowship with people that are Christians that we haven't known very long, but you need to know something about a person before you can have fellowship with them. And John says here that we need to know Christ. And that's why he started out in the first two verses, and he says, that which was from the beginning. We talked about that last week, how Christ was from the beginning of time, Genesis 1:1, and also in John 1:1, where he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and so on. He was in the beginning, but he was also, John also knew Christ from the beginning of his ministry. John was one of the very first disciples Jesus picked. He had walked with Jesus along the shores of Galilee. He traversed up and down through Israel with Jesus as they would walk from place to place. He went up to Mount Hermon with him when he went up there for that that transfiguration. He traveled all over. He went up to Phoenicia with Jesus and back down to all through Israel as they traveled around. John was with Jesus all the time. And he said, I knew him. I saw him. I heard him. I saw him with my eyes. I looked upon him. And remember, we pointed out that the looking upon him was to gaze. It wasn't just I casually saw him. And we were driving down the road and I saw something. No, it wasn't that. He says, I took time to just examine him closely. I looked at Christ and I examined who he was, realizing that Jesus was God Almighty. John, it came to John's understanding as he got to know Jesus, who Jesus really was. And John says, I knew him, I saw him, and he says that I've handled him, I touched him. He was the Word of life. He was the Word of life. And then he goes on to verse 2 and he says, and that life was manifested. The word manifest, remember, means to be revealed. Christ was manifest or revealed to us, and he did that. It was God being revealed to man when Jesus Christ left heaven, came to this earth, took on a human body, and was revealed to man. And remember, we said that as the Word of God, he was the living Word. We share things in physical or verbal words. God shared with us who he was like through the living Word. Jesus Christ is our understanding of what God is like. So the more we learn about Christ, the more we're going to learn about God. And so as you're reading through the Gospels, examine carefully. What was Christ like? How did he respond? How did he act? What did he say? What did he do under different circumstances? How did he heal people and meet people's needs and provide for them? All of these shows us what God is like. And you know, we can't see God. God is a spirit, but we can see what God has told us about himself through the pages of what Jesus was like. And John says, I saw him. I knew him. He was revealed to us. He was the Word of life. He also said that he was the eternal life. So John knew something about Christ. He said he was not just a man. He was God in human flesh. He was eternal. He was the eternal life. And John got to know him intimately. And John revealed that to us. And so John gave us that information about Christ. He said the right information was available. He said also the right information was known. John said, he tells us there again in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard. Again, he tells us, I saw it and I heard it. You'd think, well, why did he say that? He just said it in verses 1 and 2. But he's making sure we understand. I'm not telling you a secondhand story. John says, I'm not telling you something somebody told me along the trail when I was going on a walk. I'm telling you what I saw. I was there with him. I saw him and I knew him. And I am telling you this. I'm telling you what I saw and heard from Christ. And so the information can be known. It was information that we can gain and hang on to. But also that information was declared. John says here, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Declare. The word declare means to proclaim or to report or to make known openly. John in this epistle is making known or declaring to us all the things that he knew about Christ so that we and his readers could be able to fellowship with him. And he goes on and tells us that as we go on. He said, that we may have fellowship with him. I'm telling you what I know about him so that you can fellowship with him. He said, I want you to know Christ. I want you to get to know who he is. I want you to know him intimately. I want you to know him in sweet fellowship. I want you to know Christ so that you can have that sweet fellowship with him. And to have fellowship with God, we too must know him personally. And the better we know him, the closer we can fellowship with him. The Gospels, as I mentioned a moment ago, reveal Christ to us. You know, one of the things that I have found as I've been pondering over these passages and going through this is that meditating upon the Scriptures is probably the number one way that you can get to know God. And that may seem strange to you, and some of you may have not spent hardly any time at all meditating on the Word of God. What do I mean by meditating on it? I mean, like, when I go on my walks in the morning, if you really, in order to meditate on the Bible, you really have to do some either memorizing or read it carefully, read it thoroughly, read it, and pay attention to what you're reading. I mean, you can't just read a passage once and then go meditate on it. You've got to think about what it is. And as I go on my walks, I'm thinking about these, and I'm asking God, what does it mean to fellowship with you? How do we fellowship? What is fellowship? And for days, every day I'd go on my walk, and I'd come back with a new definition of fellowship, trying to think of, what does it mean to fellowship with God? Ask yourself those questions. Talk to God about it. You're on your walk and just say, Lord, what does that mean? What does it mean to fellowship with you? How can I have that fellowship with you? How can I have that communion with you? And you go over these verses and you think about it. And what did John say? John said that we can know him because he saw him and he's declaring him unto us. And you think about what John said and you meditate upon that and you ask yourself questions and you pray over it and say, God, what was John meaning by that? How can I understand? And you just keep going over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. And as you're laying on your pillow at night trying to go to sleep, you think about it again and you meditate on it and you ask yourself questions about it and you try to understand it so you can gain from it. And so we need to fellowship with God, and God wants us to grow and to draw close to Him in fellowship. So we need to have, first of all, right information. Secondly, we need to have a right choice. We need to make a right choice. He goes on and he says, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now, John reveals to us here the purpose statement of his book. This tells us what the book is all about. That he says, I'm declared to you who Christ is. I told you about him, that ye may have fellowship. And the word that there is a word that literally means, the word henna, it means in order that. In order that. See, he says, I'm giving you this information in order that you may have fellowship with God. He said, this is key to it. If you know who Christ is and you really understand Christ, then, only then, will you be able to fellowship with God. I want you to have that fellowship with Him. And so he says, that is the purpose of it, that ye may have fellowship with Him. And he uses the word may. And throughout the book of 1 John, and sometimes on Sunday night I do this, but I'm going to give you a little bit of technical stuff that may be over your head, but that's okay, you can chew on it anyway, and a little bit of it will sink in. The word may there is a subjunctive verb. Now, subjunctive verbs, what that means is it is a conditional situation, or it's a conditional word. Strong's lexicon puts it this way. He says, a subjunctive mode is a mode of possibility and potentiality. The action described may or may not occur depending upon the circumstances. So he says, you may have fellowship with him. He doesn't guarantee you have fellowship just because you know who God is. All right? And each of us here know about God. All of us know information about God. We had a quiz and we've revealed that we do understand things about God. But just knowing information doesn't guarantee that we can have fellowship with God. It doesn't even guarantee if you know Him personally that you're going to have fellowship with God. Many of you do know Christ personally as your Savior. That doesn't mean that you have fellowship with Him on a regular basis like you should. Now, God wants us to have fellowship with Him. And He said that it is a possibility. It is potential. And John says, I'm telling you this information about who Christ is, and I'm revealing it, and I'm declaring to you what I know about Christ, because if I reveal it to you, then you may have fellowship with Him. There is a potential of that. And there is a choice involved. We have to make a choice. We have to choose to fellowship with God. Just like you choose to fellowship with a friend. You choose to spend time with them. You choose to reopen your heart to them. You choose to communicate with them. And as you choose to fellowship with a friend, so it is you choose to fellowship with God. And God wants us to make that choice. And John's purpose for writing this book is to show us how to develop and maintain a fellowship with God. How do I develop a fellowship? How do I maintain fellowship? And this purpose statement is the key to understanding the entire book. The whole book, I believe, is all about that. He's answering that question. How can I have fellowship with God? And what's going to hinder me from having fellowship with God? And how do I fix those problems that are hindering me from fellowship? And how can I draw near to... So God is showing us in the Scriptures how we can have fellowship with Him. Now, John was not writing to point sinners to the Savior as he did in the Gospel. That wasn't his purpose in 1 John. He wasn't writing to cause Christians to doubt their salvation because they struggle with sin. You know, you read through this book, and as some people say, well, it's all about how to make sure you're saved. Well, you read through this, and I'll tell you, I've read it from that perspective, and I shake my head at the end, and I think, well, maybe I'm not a Christian. I do some of those things sometimes, too. And I don't think that's what John was trying to do. I don't think John was saying, oh, if you sin, you're not a Christian. He's not saying it. He said, how can I have fellowship with God? And he's trying to show us how to have fellowship with God and how to maintain that fellowship. But then we ask ourselves a very crucial question that may have already come to your mind. What is fellowship? And as I told you, I meditated on this for days. I'd go on a walk, and every day, and when I'd lay in bed, I'd think about it, and I'd quick get up and write down something I'd come up with, and, you know, I get some of my best messages just while I'm sleeping, you know, or just almost asleep. You know, you're thinking there and you're meditating, and it seems like my mind works better when I'm almost asleep. But anyway, so I'm pondering these things. But as I thought about this, first of all, the Greek word that is translated here, it means communion or association, joint participation, or intimacy with another person. That's the idea of fellowship. But you know, as I pondered, I really think in my own heart, fellowship is sharing companionship. It is sharing companionship. And it is being in harmony with God. A oneness with God. It is resting in Him completely. Resting in Him. Depending upon Him. It is living totally contented because God is all I need. He's all I need. And I'm fellowshipping with Him. I'm enjoying this time. I'm having a good time with Him. And we need that. And it is feeding and feasting upon the Word of God and pondering the principles. Not just reading my little chapter to keep the devil away. But to feed upon the Scripture and say, I want to learn. What can I gain from this? What can I gain? What will it feed my soul? And looking for something that you can hang on through the day and meditate on it throughout the day and think about it and chew upon it and go over and over and over again in your mind thinking about what I learned. How can I gain? It's meditating on the scriptures together with God. It is sharing my heart with God. Telling God what's on my heart and on my soul. My burdens, my joys, my happiness, my sadness, all those kind of things we share with God. It is communing with God and meditating on those scriptures. And it's also singing hymns to God. You know, if you don't sing to God, you're missing out. Get some of those songs. As I've been meditating on these and as I've been growing and drawing closer to the Lord in some of this, as I've been preparing 1 John, one song that has just been tremendously a blessing to me is Great is Thy Faithfulness. That is an awesome song. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Meditate on those. Sing it to the Lord and think about the words of it. And there's all kinds of good hymns. This book is full of great hymns that we can sing to God. And think about it as you're doing that. Spend those sweet times with Him. Maybe it's as you're falling off to sleep at night. Go over those songs. Sing some songs to the Lord and praise Him for what He's done. Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing those songs to Him from your heart and just communicate with God. So what we're doing, we're having companionship. It's like two friends sitting down and just having a cup of tea together and sharing their hearts with each other and communicating about what's been taking place in their lives and talking about their plans and talking about their happy times and their sad times and their joy and their sadness and all that's going on in their lives, and they're experiencing each other and they're sharing with each other and open their hearts to each other. And that's what we need to do with God. Many of you do that with each other and with your friends, but you don't do it with God. And that's the most important thing. We need that time with God where we just sit alone with God. It is a closeness to God that James described when he said, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Remember there in James 4, verse 8, he says, 8 to 10, he says, draw near to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Meditate on those verses. Think about that. God said, if you draw near Him, He will draw near you. That's amazing. If I take the time to say, God, I want to be near You. I want to communicate with You. I want to talk with You. And I take the time to get the sin out of my life, and I draw near to God. God said, I will draw near to You. That's a wonderful promise. And if God didn't give that promise just to me, it's for you just as well as me. So, drawing near to God, that is kind of a synonym of fellowshipping with God. Another synonym is abiding in Christ. And we're going to see that throughout this book of 1 John as well. John uses that over and over again. Abiding in Christ. Jesus in John chapter 15. That's that time when Jesus talked to his disciples. And he was sitting around with those disciples. And in verses 1 to 12, he talks about abiding in him. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And except the vine, except the branches abide in the vine, you cannot bear fruit. And I'm just paraphrasing some of this, but what he's saying here is he's saying that we need to stay close to him, abide in him, keep dependent upon him. We become so independent. I can do it myself. I don't need to ask God for help. And we go through day after day and don't even ask God to help us with the things that we're doing. We're independent. And God says, no, that's not the way to have fellowship. Depend upon me. He says, you need to abide in me. And he says there in verse 4 of John 15, he says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. He says, you cannot bear fruit. You cannot have the fruits of the Spirit in your life unless you abide in Christ. Stay close to Christ. Stay near him. Dwell close to him. Fellowship with him. Then he goes on in verse number 5 and he says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do, not too much. Is that what it said? Nothing. We can't do anything without Christ. And you know, we, and I'm at the head of the ladder. We are so independent. And God says, you can't do anything, and I can't do anything without him. We need him. And so fellowship with God is absolutely crucial. We need that fellowship with God. We need dependence upon him. John also tells us here, and we're going to see in the next couple of weeks, that this fellowship with God is walking in the light. Walking in the light. That'll give you something to ponder for a while. What is light? Well, God is light. What does that mean? How can I walk in the light? How can I be in the light? What if I'm not in the light? What then? And so God says that he wants you to walk in the light. Now, as we think about this, let me just give you a quick preview. Look at your Bible again. Look down at verse number 5. Verse number 5. And I'm going to walk you through and give you a quick preview. And we're not going to spend time because I'm going to deal with this more later. But just a quick preview of what this is talking about. He says, God is light. Light is purity. It's right. It's truth. And in him is no darkness. It's the opposite. Darkness is the opposite of light. And then he says in verse 6, if we have fellowship with God and walk, if we say we have fellowship with God but walk in darkness, we lie. If I say, I'm having fellowship with God, but I'm walking in the dark. Remember, God's in the light. And if I'm walking in the dark, if I'm doing anything that God doesn't say is light, he says, I am lying. I am not telling the truth. I'm deceiving myself. I'm lying. And then he goes on and he says, if, verse 7, if we walk in God's light, we enjoy his fellowship and he cleans us from sin. That's an awesome verse. He said, if I'm walking in fellowship with him and I'm having sweet communion with him, then he is constantly working at cleaning my heart and keeping me clean. And that is an important thing. But then notice what he says in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, what we're saying there is if we say we have no sin for him to clean, we deceive ourselves. He just said in verse number 7 that he will cleanse us from all sin. But in verse 8 he says if we say we have no sin, in other words, we have no sin to clean. God, there's nothing you need to clean out of me. I'm doing all right. I'm doing fine. What did he say would happen? He said if we say that we deceive ourselves. Why? Because we all sin. And then he goes on to verse 9 and he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess means I agree with you, God. I have sinned and my sin was wrong. And so we agree with God, and he cleanses us. And then in verse 10, he goes on, and he says, if we say we have not sinned, that's disagreeing with God. God's just said I sin, and I, and if I confess it, I'm agreeing with God. In verse 10, if I say, no, I didn't sin, and God said I did, then I'm calling God a liar. And his word's not in me. I'm not obeying his word. So that's just a little preview. Chew on that. Think about that. Meditate on that. That gives you a whole week's worth and more of meditation on those verses. And we're going to dig into that as the days go by. But He says here that fellowship with God is walking in the light. Walking in the light. Walking in God's light. Being close to God. Oh, we need that. I need that. And you need that. We need to be close to God and in sweet fellowship with God. We desperately need that. And so that's what fellowship is. It's being that companionship with God. It is drawing near to God. It is abiding in God. It's walking in His light. It's walking in the Spirit. It is having that sweet fellowship with God that God wants us to have. That is why God created us. He created Adam and Eve that He might be able to walk and talk with them in the garden. And they sinned, and sin broke their fellowship. And then Christ came to this earth and died to pay for our sin to be able to reconcile us again to God, that we might be able to have fellowship with Him again. And now we can have fellowship. And yet, even though we can have fellowship with God, many times we don't have fellowship with God because we don't take the time to do it. We don't choose to do it. Remember, that was subjunctive. We got to choose to fellowship with God. It takes discipline to fellowship with God. It takes time to discipline to spend with God. It is not just an automatic. It isn't just something that's going to happen. It isn't just one day God's going to zap you and you got fellowship with God. It's going to take determination and choice. But it's well worth it. It is worth it. I challenge you, draw near to God. You'll be glad you did. It is well worth it to do that. And he goes on and he tells us that if we're going to fellowship with God, we need to have a right focus. In verses, the last part of that verse, he says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. They fellowship with God. You know, we choose to fellowship with friends and family and grandchildren and our pets. We fellowship with them. But how often do we make it a priority to fellowship with God? You know, if you go through this week and you never have any fellowship with any human being, but you have fellowship with God every day, you will be better off and benefited by it. We don't need human fellowship nearly as much as we need God's fellowship. We need that communication with God. That is our lifeline. That is what will give you joy. That is what will give you satisfaction. That's what's going to fulfill you. Right now I'm studying and preparing to preach through the book of Ecclesiastes. And as I am doing that, I'm listening to some sermons that are just feeding my soul. And realizing that there is no fulfillment in this life if you leave God out. It doesn't matter what you get in this life, you will not be satisfied if you leave God out. We need God's fellowship or there's no joy in it. There's no joy in it. And there's multitudes of people in this world that are going through life and they're miserable. And even a lot of Christians are miserable because they leave God out of their life. We need a close, intimate relationship with Him. You got to get to know Him and walk with Him and talk with Him and sing to Him and fellowship with Him and pray with Him and share your heart with Him and discuss things with Him and just be with Him. We need that desperately. He says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. The focus is on God the Father and God the Son. And John and those with him, notice what he says here in the latter part of 3. He says, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John says, I want you to have fellowship with us, but we are having fellowship with the Father. John says, I have fellowship with Him on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. I'm fellowshipping with God, and I want you to do that too. And you know, that's one of the things that I think is coming across in my heart. As I am gaining from this book, and it's feeding my soul, and I'm having sweeter fellowship with God than maybe I've had ever in my life. And I'm longing to be able to share that with you, because it's overflowing in my heart. And that's exactly what John's saying here. He says, I am having sweet fellowship with God, and I want you to have that fellowship too. And here's how you can do it. You need to know Jesus. And he says, I want to tell you what I can about Him and help you to become of that close fellowship. You need that companionship with Him. And John longed for the Christians to share that same fellowship that he had. And God longs to share fellowship with you and have companionship with you every day. He really does. God wants your companionship. And He wants that fellowship with you. He desires it. And then in verse number 4, John gives us a second reason for writing, or actually it's probably a strengthening his first point. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He said, if you're going to have joy in this life, the only way you're going to have joy is fellowship with God. That's the only way you're going to have joy. And if you will fellowship with God like we're fellowshipping with God, he says, you can have full joy. You can know what it's like to have a joyful Christian life. Sadly, many Christians go through their life with no joy. Saddened, broken, disappointed, discouraged, defeated. Day after day after day after day, year after year, defeated. And God said, it doesn't have to be that way. We can have fellowship with God, and we can have joy, and we can have God's fullness and His filling and His power. But we've got to draw near Him. And so John is urging us. He said, listen, I'm telling you, he says, that which I've seen and declared, we declare unto you, I've seen it and heard it, declare unto you, that ye may have joy, fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. I want you to be joyful. And so John is opening up his heart to us and opening up the scriptures to us. And he's saying, here's the key. You want a joyful Christian life? You want a fulfilling Christian life? You want a Christian life that is growing and flowing over and bubbling and you're excited about it and you're thrilled about it? You need to have fellowship with God. And if you don't have that in your life, it's because you don't have fellowship with God. Fellowship is not just reading your Bible. It is not just spending some time in prayer. Fellowship is spending quality time with God, just you and Him, talking with Him, sharing your heart with Him, discussing things with Him, talking, meditating on the Word, meditating on Scriptures, singing songs to God, just spending sweet time with God. And if you've never done that, I challenge you, do it this week. Begin this week. Just start out something simple. Find a verse that really speaks to your heart and feeds your soul and memorize that verse. If you don't have it memorized, write it down on a piece of paper and take it with you and go for a 20-minute walk. And you just talk to God on that walk. Read over that verse again and again, asking questions about that verse. Talk to Him about it. What does it mean, God? What is that? How can I do that? What do I need to change in my life? Where do I need to make some modifications so I can do what you said in this verse? You talk to God about it. Discuss it with Him and plead with Him and share with your heart with Him. And then sing some songs to Him and just sing some of those songs that you love and just enjoy your time with God. And you'll come back. I guarantee you'll be glad you did it. And you have a sweeter fellowship with God. And don't do it just once in a while, but do it every day. And then what we need to do is we need to develop that fellowship with God so that it isn't just my 20-minute walk in the morning, but it's all day long. That we can commune in fellowship with God. Oh, I haven't mastered it. I got a long way to go. But I've enjoyed what I've started. And I encourage you to do the same. Let's ask God to help us fellowship with Him this week. And so John gives us the right information. We need to know Christ personally. He gives us the right choice. He shows us what the right choice is. The choice is to choose to take time to fellowship with God. That's the right choice. And he tells us about the right focus. The right focus is to have our focus on God. On Him. And so whatever you need to do in order to make time to fellowship with God this week, make the necessary changes. It will be worth it if you do it. I guarantee.